You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
All right, you want the truth?
You can't handle the truth!
Simply put, those who can't handle the truth are those who can't handle the Word of God, because everything in the Word of God is truth. False teachers like Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, Joseph Prince, Todd Bentley, John Hagee would know truth if it slapped them upside the head. All right, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Richard Haas, and it is 2/24/2015 for our podcast listeners, and you're listening to EBC Radio or otherwise Empowered by Christ Radio. Well, as you can tell, I still am trying to get over this cold. You can hear the raspiness in my voice. I hope you guys had a good weekend. I know last week we were going to do a show on Thursday. We had Mr. Brennan on Wednesday, and we kind of talked about doing a two-hour show on Thursday. Well, it kind of just didn't happen because, as you can tell, I'm getting over a cold, and you most probably saw the status message I put out on Facebook or on Twitter, on my page and on the ministry page, that basically we were not going to have a Thursday show because I couldn't talk. So that's how I spent most of Wednesday evening after I got off the show on Wednesday. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I regained my voice about Saturday night, roughly. And as you can tell, it's still a little bit raspy, so I'm drinking a little bit of the tea. So if you hear a little mute once in a while I'm talking, it means I'm just hitting the cough button. So I'm not blowing your guys' ears out with coughing or clearing my throat. Now, I hope you guys had a really good weekend. Besides my cold, and it going around the house, that, you know, my son first had it. He was generous and gave it to me. And then I was generous and gave it to my wife. So it's kind of like going around the Haas household here and passing its way through and hopefully out the door soon. Everybody seems to be getting over it. So that'll be a good thing. You know, it's our yearly, as I always call it, our yearly sickness. We around here, we don't get sick much in our house. A lot of times, you know, I'll get sick in the fall once and sick around now between February and April and get a cold, and that's about it. So I'm hoping I got my cold out of the way for at least until fall and at least until November, you know, October, November time. That's usually when I get another cold. So I'll hopefully get that out of the way. So I hope you guys had a really good weekend. I did. Besides the cold, I got to get together with check out a new church. We were attending a church here in the Racine area called Grace Christian Church, Grace Church in Racine. Good church, solid church, biblically sound, good pastor. But we were just having a very hard time connecting with the people there. We're having a hard time connecting, trying to get involved in ministry stuff. Went to a couple of membership classes, and their big emphasis was on life groups and going through life groups. Now, nothing against life groups. I think life groups are great. Life groups are wonderful. But life groups, I don't think, should be supplemented for a core activity. And what I mean by that on Sunday mornings is a core, like having your Sunday school or classes or, you know, some type of fellowship on Sunday and a service. They should not be substituted. So my wife and I were discussing, you know, other options and everything. And my friend at work, Bill, he basically said, hey, check out our Bible church or our church down in Kenosha. So we went and I went because I was feeling up to it. My son was still getting over the cold. My wife was coming down with the cold that I generously shared with her. And basically, you know, I went there, checked it out. It was a pretty awesome service and great fellowship. Got a bite to eat afterwards. Kind of enjoyed having a good time with my friend Bill and his wife, Beth. That was a really good. So if you're listening, a shout out to you guys. And thank you for inviting me to your church. And we definitely will all be attending there next Sunday. And looking forward to some good fellowship and some great sermons put out by their pastor. Now, kind of cool thing with their pastor, kind of little side thing, his pastor's name is Richard Van Dyke. So in other words, if you're, this kind of dates me and my age and my what I watch on TV. So a lot of times the joke is, I guess, the running joke there is, they call him Dick Van Dyke, you know, after the actor. So, you know, Dick Van Dyke show. So that kind of gives you a little bit of my age category, if you want to say. Now, I kind of had a pleasant surprise, though, with the sermon. Turns out the pastor is Reformed. So, kind of interesting, kind of little, you know, little thing. So, I went from having a pastor in Grace Church up here in Racine, who was on a Reformed side, preached Reformed theology, held to doctrines of grace in his teaching. And basically kind of didn't know, you know, a lot about the pastor. Went there, you know, my friend Bill and his wife invited me to the church and kind of really enjoyed, you know, come to think about it. We started preaching the first sermon today. The Sunday was on Ephesians. We're going to be going through the book of Ephesians. And he opens a sermon talking about total depravity. So it was, my friend Bill was laughing. He's like, man, he said he thought I was going to jump out of the church hearing. So it was pretty good. So pleasantly surprised. Now, we got a lot going on in the show, and if you looked at the title today, you probably saw that it's Open Topic Tuesday. Been kind of busy trying to recover from this cold and have not had a lot of time to prep and do a lot of prep work with the show. So basically we got some topics, as you saw on our info, you know, about the show as we put out. We're going to talk about some of the kind of stuff we were going to talk about on Thursday with Charlie and I when we were going to tag team it, but we're kind of pushing this into today. And just a little show programming note, we will be having our 2-hour show tomorrow, but on Thursday, showtime and whatnot will be up in the air because I have some personal stuff I have to take care of on Thursday and it cannot be taken changed. So we got some stuff for dealing with that. So we don't know exactly what or when, if we're going to be doing a show on Thursday or if not. So we'll kind of keep you informed, and you know, you can follow us and way you can keep informed. We got several different ways of keeping informed. you can do so by following us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC. You also can check out our Twitter feed at EBC Apologetics. And you can check out our website at empoweredbychrist.org. Also, you can follow me on Facebook at Richard Haas. You can go send me a friend request. Or just, if you look up my profile, you'll see my name there. Just go ahead and just hit the follow button and you can go ahead and get all the information I post there. And I post stuff on there about the website, the ministry and stuff, personal stuff, a whole bunch of different stuff. Stuff on the website or on my personal page varies from, you know, the stuff we post on the Empowered by Christ EBC page. So, you know, my page isn't... I should say my profile is not a page, so it's limited to 5,000 friends. So you guys are going to most probably have to tag and follow along. It's just the way it is because Facebook, you know, dictated that 5,000 is all you can have. So they did add the follow feature, so you can follow me along there. Now, like I said, we got a bunch of stuff we're going to talk about tonight. excuse me. Like I said, now I have to put up with my raspy voice and once in a while clearing the throat. I always can't hit the mic mute button real quick. Tonight, we're going to be discussing Rob Bell and his proclamation or coming out for gay marriage. Basically, a kind of a new false teaching, a kind of dangerous teaching, you could say, by Andy Stanley. And we wrote several articles on Andy Stanley and his false teaching and just what he represents or misrepresents in Christianity. And you can kind of check that out at empoweredbychrist.org for all the details on Andy Stanley. Go to our website, check it out, you know, just type in or go empoweredbychrist.org. In a search section, go and type in Andy Stanley and hit return. A lot of people, I've gotten a couple emails dealing with the website and with where they go to search something and they type it in and they won't be able to find it. Well, you have to hit return. You got to type it in, hit return, and then it'll bring up all the articles that are related to it. It's just the way the site is designed. I talked to one of their tech people, and it's just the way it is. Some sites, you type it in, like Facebook, you know, you go ahead and it's active search. I guess that's what it's called, and it brings the stuff up. Well, in ours, you have to actually hit return. So just to let you know, we're also going to talk about, you know, basically the Bible is not a self-help book. It's, you know, despite what your mega pastor, your pastor tells you, it's not a self-help five point to fix your life kind of book. And then we're going to discuss a little bit about the SBC president. That's a Southern Baptist president, Russell Moore, joining and ushering in with partnership with the false religion of Roman Catholicism. So I'll be looking at doing all that kind of touch on all those subjects. But now, if you want to ask questions on any of those subjects, or maybe you got subjects or, you know, questions about theology, the Bible, doctrine, Calvinism, whatever you may be, you know, I'm not going to promote Calvinism, just saying maybe you get a question about it. Maybe, you know, you got other questions, personal questions, whatever it may be, comments, you can do so. You can go ahead and call us. I'll give you all the call number right now. It's area code 646-564-9793. And you also can go ahead and, if you're listening to this via podcast after the show here, you know, we're live now, but, you know, in 48 minutes or whatever, if you tune in and you want to call, and you can leave us a number or leave us a message at area code 414-369-2242. It's basically what we did. We set up a Google Voice mail system using Google Voice, and you just call and, you know, leave your message or your question, and we'll address it. We'll play it on the show next time we are on, and we'll address your question or play your comment on the next show. So you can look forward to that. Good way for our podcast listeners to interact. So, you know, it's our podcast hotline. Now, let's kind of look at, I guess we'll go down the first topic here. Basically, I'm a list person. I don't know, you might know that, you might not. I like lists. That's how I get things done. You know, my wife tells me, hey, we got to do this, 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 and this. She'll rattle off all these things. I'm like, make me a list, because otherwise it's not going to get done. So I'm kind of a list person. A lot of times you'll see that in the articles we write. We write articles, you know, a list of stuff, you know, this is why this is false. This is, you know, 7 reasons why this is, 5 reasons for that, 4 reasons, you know, whatever it may be. It's kind of the way we write stuff. I like lists. It's a good organized way to get a point across. So we'll kind of go down this, and not in any particular order, but maybe we'll just start looking at the, you know, basically discuss a little bit, you know, the Bible is not a self-help book. A lot of times in a lot of teachings, and it's kind of relevant in what we are teaching. I really hate that word because, you know, the emergent Christian movement, the emergent church, you know, has really corrupted the word relevant. Every time it makes me cringe when I have to say it, but really it's, you know, tags along to what we are talking about today. You know, a lot of times today, the church, the modern Christian church, the false American dominant church, I'm not talking about, you know, maybe you're attending a good Bible preaching church, which is, I say oftentimes, if you are, you're lucky, because they're getting harder and harder and harder to find. A lot of times, a lot of people are just having to settle for a church because it's where they can at least get some type of fellowship. Hear some, you know, word preached. Maybe, you know, your pastor hits it off every Sunday, you know, in the word is good, solid. Other Sundays, you're sitting there going, what is he talking about? What? You know, why is he giving me 5 points to better manage my checkbook? And that's because a lot of times what's happening is with the churches today, and this comes, you know, the false dominant church that's rising, and that's one of the books I'm actually working on writing, the false talking about the falsehood of the American church that basically is rise. You know, it's gonna, there's going to be a false, and we know this from Revelation, there's going to be a false church rising, a false religion, a one world religion. Well, that one world religion isn't going to just pop up overnight and go, hey, here I am. You know, it's going to take time. It's got to be molded. It's got to start somewhere. And where it starts is at the grassroots level, you know, with people like Rick Warren capitulating to the Pope. You got people like Andy Stanley, and we're going to touch on this a little bit, you know, why he, you know, plays into it. Rob Bell, why he plays into that. Even though, you know, for born-again believers, a remnant, you know, followers of Christ, we look at people like Rob Bell, we look at Andy Stanley, we look at Rick Warren, we go, what is going on? We're just shaking our heads going, hey, what? You know, how can people be so blind and fall? Well, it's because people are deceived. They're, you know, the Bible speaks, you know, they got coverings over their eyes. They can't see, you know, they're spiritually blind. Well, a lot of people are spiritually blind. They're deceived. You know, they're easily deceived. And this has to happen in order for the end times to, you know, take place, for end times for prophecy to be fulfilled, the one world government, one world religion kind of thing. And like I said, it starts at a grassroots level. So when it's starting, you know, one of the core simplest ways, you know, I've often said this way, the devil is not going to fight religion, is not going to fight the Christian. Instead, he's going to make a religion that is so close and so mirrors biblical Christianity that it deceives so many into believing it's biblical when actually it's a false religion, and that's how those one world religions going to have come about. It's not going to come overnight and everyone's just going to fall for it. It's going to be because it's going to mirror Christianity so closely, but it's really not. And one of the things, you know, one of these aspects of the Christian religion or false Christian religion that's arising in America is basically pastors either inadvertently or on purposely, because they've been taught in seminary schools, and, you know, seminary schools have been become so corrupted with false teachings, false teachers, and ecumenicalism, and, you know, just bad theology and doctrine, that it's now widely accepted and being taught by a lot of pastors, you know, well, the Bible's a good self-help book. It's not the actual, you know, it's the Word of God, but, you know, God gave it to us because it's a self-help book. It's, you know, all about you and making you better and your best life now. Sounds familiar, you know, Joel Osteen. That guy shouldn't even be a pastor, you know. Like I was telling my friend Bill, just a little side note, on Sunday after church, we went out to dinner. I saw his wife and my wife, bless her heart, basically, you know, because she's got to put up with me, you know, an apologist, you know, always looking for the, you know, and this is part of apologetics and an apologist, always looking for the downfall, if you want to say, and, you know, I won't say negatively, but, you know, you're always looking for the, okay, where's the catch? Where's the loop? Where's the bad theology going to be slipped in? So, you know, I was telling him, I said, you know, I watch, Joel, you know, speaking of Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is a banned from our house. Not by so much me watching, but my wife won't let me watch Joel Osteen. Simply because, first of all, she likes our TV, and she doesn't want something thrown at it. Second of all, just because it's not good for my health sometimes to watch Joel Osteen, because, you know, I start yelling and screaming at something he says in about 30 seconds after, you know, he goes through his, this is my Bible, and holds up the little, you know, the Bible, and I don't know why they hold their Bibles up. They're not being taught from the Bible. They're not being given any, you know, word from the Bible. They're not, you know, they don't need their Bible, so, you know, I don't know why, you know, right there, that usually starts my blood pressure going, and my wife basically said, hey, you know, enough of that, you're not watching it, you've got high enough blood pressure as it is, and you do not need to, you know, stroking out over Joel Osteen because he's made you mad. So, you know, That's one of the things. So I was telling my friend Bill that as a little side note, you know, basically that, Joel Osteen's banned from our house, not from me, but from my wife, you know. But, you know, people like that, you know, you turn the Bible into your self-help book, or, you know, Stephen Furtick is another example. If you're not familiar with him, he's a pastor that runs Elevation Church out in North Carolina. We wrote several articles. Again, you can check on him. He's done several different conferences and had, you know, heretical teachers like T.D. Jakes talking there, you know, people like that. And just, he's done several different things. You know, he goes down to what we call the narcissistic eisegesis, or basically, if you want to put it in layman's terms, it's basically takes the Bible and does exactly what I'm talking about here. It makes it into a self-help book about you. And the Bible is not a self-help book about for you. Yes, it's a self-help book in one regard. One regard only. It shows everything from Genesis to Revelation. Not what about us, but everything that Christ has done for us that we may be forgiven and cleared of our sins. And be righteous before God, made righteous through Christ's blood on a cross through God for the elect, for the believers, for those who will believe. Excuse me there. Had to hit the mute button. I was starting to cough. So, like I was saying, let me just recap that before I kind of broke into a cough spasm there. Now, the Bible, you know, is not about us. It's not for us. It's not written about us. It's not about our story. God wrote it for us, and that's his way of communicating what his son did for us on the cross. Yes, there's lessons we can learn from there. Yes, there's practical stuff we can see, and there's everything is for teaching, reproof, and education in the Bible. Yes, but ultimately, it's not a self-help book. Just geared, you know, to make your life the best life now. No, it's to proclaim Christ as Lord. That is what the Bible is there for. Ultimately, it's to glorify God. His written word is to glorify God and glorify his son. So, you know, it's a way, you know, of course, you know, that's the way God talks to us now. We don't, you know, when we pray, we don't hear God's audible voice going, "Hey, you know, I want you to do this." No, we don't hear that. You know, we pray. That's how we communicate to God. God communicates back to us through his written word and through the Holy Spirit. That's how we communicate with God, and God communicates with us. You know, not through some mystic experience, some mysticism, you know, that, you know, where we have to go into enlightened prayers, or, you know, mantras, and, you know, spiritualism. Basically, we don't need to do that, and we're actually forbid to do that in the Bible. We were told not to do that. So, you know, just touch on that little subject a little bit here. And as I mentioned, you know, one of those people basically that has taken and made the Bible into a self-help book would be Mr. Andy Stanley and his teaching. And basically, he was preaching from his pulpit the other week, and this goes back a couple weeks. Like I said, you know, we kind of discuss the stuff as it comes up, kind of groups it up and group it into, you know, subject categories. So this was let's see here if I can find a date. Got it from an article from Falsified Ministries, and pretty good article. And basically it highlights, we posted it on our website, and it's from Wednesday, February 11, 2015. Basically, Andy Stanley was quoted saying this from his pulpit this past month here. Basically that the foundation of our faith is not the scripture. The foundation of our faith is not the infallible of the Bible. The issue is always, who is Jesus? Scripture is simply a collection of ancient documents that tells us the story. Really? Let me read that again, because this is kind of important, and I think it's good to reread what Andy Stanley said, because this is really a problem. And this is where, when I say the Bible is not a self-help book, despite what your pastor tells you, because basically Andy Stanley here is saying that the Bible is a collection of ancient documents that tells us that story that becomes a self-help book, because he's saying here the foundation of faith is not Scripture. The foundation of our faith is not the infallibility of the Bible. The issue has always been, who is Jesus? Scripture is simply a collection of documents that tells us that story. And that's his quote from his sermon. So basically, the seeker-driven pastor, and Andy Stanley is a seeker-driven pastor who is actually in favor and has come out in support of gay rights, or, you know, if you want, you know, the LGBTQ. And if you're wondering what Q is, it's a new status on the LGBT labeling. Q is for questioning. That's what, you know, I've been told. I've seen on several different websites. And basically, this pastor that's in support of that, you know, you're seeing this false dominant, you know, religion within Christianity, the false rise of false religion, false Christianity coming up here in America. You're going to see more of this. You get, you know, all different types of, you know, groups jumping on the homosexual acceptance bandwagon. You know, you got the Mormons now coming out. We know Mormons aren't Christian, but I'm just saying this is why these groups can all merge together. I remember writing an article on why all these false religions can merge together coming up here. And I'm going to be pointing out some of the areas why they can all, like, you know, why Rome, the Church of Rome, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, your emergent church types, you know, and mainstream evangelicalism, which has basically been hijacked. And I don't even like using the term or calling myself an evangelical, because it's been so poorly represented and it's been hijacked, can basically all be merged together and become a one religion and easily become a one world religion. Because a lot of foundation is as more of these religions jump onto, or these denominations and sects and religion, you know, different religions, except, you know, all these different same things, and we go for the ecumenicalism, they're going to be merging into one religion. It's just laying all the groundwork, like I said earlier in the show. Now, so, you know, you got Pastor Stanley here, who's basically denying the infallibility of the Bible. And if we look at this, first of all, we wouldn't know who Jesus is if it was not for Scriptures. You know, key right there, if you're going to deny that and say the foundation is of faith is not Scripture, then you're going to deny, you know, where it says the Logos became flesh, the Word became flesh. Okay. You know, if second of all, if the Bible was fallible, that then we couldn't, you know, trust who the Bible says Jesus is. You know, thirdly, looking at, you know, this, what he said, there are tons of ancient documents that tell stories. If Scripture was fallible, just think about this, then again, why would we trust that it would say, you know, its content about Jesus? Why would we say, trust what it says about Christ, and compares to any other ancient document that talks about Jesus? Then if you're going to say, you know, basically, what Andy Stanley has done is taken Scripture, taken the Bible, and by saying that, okay, it's, you know, it's not about infallibility, it's not, you know, about Scripture, the foundation is about Scripture, you know, basically he has taken it and made it no more, the Word of God, no more effective, and has no more weight than, in his view, I mean, this is where the logical absurd illogical conclusion would take it, would be that Scripture and the Bible holds no more weight than, using his form of logic and where his thinking ultimately ends would basically say that the Quran is equal to the Bible. The Book of Mormon is equal to the Bible. You know, whatever, you know, you want to say, whatever other ancient documents is equal to the Bible. That's ultimately what and where Andy Stanley's statement will end. That's its logical, absurd, logical conclusion. You know, and that's using, you know, it's basically using a technique called, you know, absolute or logic absurdum, basically taking a logical or illogical statement and playing it out to its logical end. So now, fourthly, because Scripture is infallible and is, because we know Scripture is infallible, that's what here we believe in part by Christ Ministries. You know, you can check out our statement of faith at our website under our statement of faith section or mission section. And, you know, we have a perfect foundation based on the infallible text that informs us who Jesus is. Andy Stanley didn't just miss the ball here, basically, on this. He didn't, you know, it was up at the bat, you know, ready to nail that sermon right out of the park. He completely struck out. You want to talk about epic fails of pastors? Pastors that basically, you know, moves that talk about failure? Well, that's right there. That's what he did. I mean, it's pretty poorly, you know, handled there. So, looking at that, you know, as I said, and we did a whole series on this for some time, and it's important, you know, theology matters, doctrine matters. We did a week and a half, almost 2 week section or segment, four to six shows on why theology is so important earlier in the month. And at the end of January and the beginning of the month, and why theology is so important. Right here, going back to that, their previous shows, you listen to those shows and what we're talking about, why theology is so important. You know, Charlie was on there and we had several different people on discussing why theology is so important. This is why, right here, theology is so important. If you have the wrong theology, if you say things that, like what Andy Stanley said, that the foundation of faith is not Scripture, the foundation of our faith is not the infallibility of the Bible, not the infallible Word. The issue is always, who is Jesus? Scripture is simply a collection of documents. You basically take and make the Bible, and you take the Bible and you make it a self-help book, and you don't make it the Word of God anymore. And ultimately, worse than that, is that you will be taking, and since your theology is wrong, and obviously Andy Stanley's theology is wrong, I'm going to be writing on this too here. I have so much to write and so little time to write. It's just, you know, I need to take like a week and just write articles. Seriously, I need to set up like a couple guest hosts and just take a couple weeks and write a couple articles and get these articles pounded out. I got a stack of, like, you wouldn't believe it, right? But, you know, your theology is wrong. You're going to ultimately worship the wrong God and the wrong Jesus. And Andy Stanley, this is my opinion, you know, and I'd like to hear others, you know, thoughts on this. And you can give a call at area code 646-564-9793 if you want. Or you can call us on the podcast line. That's always available for after the show. Or if you're listening to this on podcast, you can do that at area code 414-369-2242. And I'd like to hear, you know, your thoughts. And you also can tell us your thoughts at our website on our empoweredbychrist.org. Just go there, hit the contact section, and several ways you can fill out several different forms. Tell us what you think and do that. You know, I'd like to hear from you guys on this. But ultimately, our theology matters. And we've said this several times in different shows. Theology matters. Because your theology is off, you're going to be worshiping the wrong God, the wrong Jesus. And ultimately, you worship the wrong God, and you don't have the right Jesus. You don't have the Jesus of the Bible. And you're off worshiping some, you know, Jesus of Mormonism, the Jesus of the Roman Catholic Church, the Jesus of, you know, whatever, the emergent movement or the new false, you know, the gay Jesus, if you want to call him that, or, you know, the Jesus of the false evangelical rising church, you know, Jesus. Well, eternity is a long time to be wrong. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. And we need to make sure that we are fearfully and with trembling sorting out our faith, that we are correctly in the faith. That, you know, it's, you know, it isn't, oh, the Bible, okay, I said this, I went down and, you know, said a prayer and, okay, now I'm saved and I go back to living my life the way it was. You know, I'm not 100, you know, I'm against altar calls if they're done biblically, if they're done right. What I am against is, you know, just, okay, you signed a name in the back of, you know, the card in your book or in your Bible or some book at some church, some registry. And all of a sudden, okay, you're a Christian. And at the end of it, and, you know, you don't have any discipleship. You're not mentored. You're not, you know, examining the Word of God. You're not in the Word of God, examining the Word of God. You're not growing spiritually. So are you really, you know, saved? I'm not saying it's our works that save us, but if you're not growing spiritually and you're not fearfully and trembling and sorting out your faith and making sure you're in the faith, then how do you really know you're in the faith? You know, faith is an active thing. It's an active ingredient. I've often said this, you know, it's like when you're in the faith, you're active. And that's one way of seeing if someone... And I'm not saying it's based on our works, because we know it's not on our works at all. But our works are a result of our faith. And that's why it's so quintessentially important that we examine and we let Scripture examine us and see that we are in faith. That's why I've often said, you know, people go, oh, well, you're judging that person. You can't judge that person's salvation, whatever. And my reply is simply put, I don't judge a person's salvation. I let Scripture judge whether or not that person's saved. And I just look at Scripture and compare Scripture to what I'm seeing in that person. And Scripture will speak for itself. So, you know, but so that's basically Andy Stanley's, you know, newest false little dilemma or foot in the mouth disease as he continues down the road of, some people would call him pastor, but I don't know. I can't really call him a pastor, and I don't think I can call his church a church. It's, you know, it's a church of goats, maybe, but I don't know. But it's not really a church, so maybe it's a goat farm, because I can't associate church with goats. So I guess it'd be a goat farm. So there's a goat herder. Yeah, maybe that's it. Now, you know, speaking of this and moving on, you know, dealing with this, there's a big danger of... I want to bring this up as a little side topic. And this is where a lot, I think, the false teachers, and we get into with the false teaching and, you know, these pastors where they go astray and they can become too big for their britches. I've noticed this over a long time. And this is why I've often said, you know, when we started Empowered by Christ, you know, there's a danger of popular pastor idolization. Or idolization of, you know, becoming too big for your britches, or, you know, people, your people, oh, look, you know, this guy's so great. And I've seen this, you know, I've experienced this firsthand at a church I attended. And, you know, basically the pastor becomes a rock star and, you know, in the church, you know, he's Mr. Celebrities, you know, the cool pastor, or whatever you want to say, but, you know, the focus goes off Scripture and Christ and becomes on the pastor. And there's a danger in there. There's a danger of popular pastor idolization, if you want to say. That's why I've often said, you know, when I started Empowered by Christ back in 2009, and I actually just started it, 2008 actually, started it as a Facebook page just to disconnect it from my regular page at the time, just because a lot of stuff I was posting and everything was controversial, and as it always is, as we know, the Word of God is controversial, and it's going to cause a rift. Well, at the time, I was separating and breaking, and I didn't want to get everybody mad on my page, or my own personal page at once, so I kind of had to, you know, divide and do this thing. So we started this ministry, you know, and kind of grew, and, you know, it kind of was laid on me, like, hey, this is, you know, where it's going. And then my friend, you know, Joe, co-founder, and, you know, Joe Carlone, basically said, hey, we should start a website. So we started a website, and we started writing articles, because we used to write a lot on our page, and, you know, back when, this goes, dates us, back when Facebook, you could do notes and articles, and we'd do that. So, but then we're like, oh, let's get a website and put it out there on that, because that's easier than what Facebook was allowing us to do. So we started that and went from there. Well, short thing being that we never expected it to go where it's gone, where, you know, people for, you know, and this is not just, I'm just stating what it is, you know, to doing internet radio, to doing, you know, basically, you know, Skype conferences. We were setting those up. We're basically, we are doing, you know, talking to people internationally about doing conferences overseas. They want us to come over in Africa and other places and speak on topics we're speaking about now. And, you know, where it's going. And we had no intent. And, you know, Charlie came on board shortly after. And we never figured, hey, it would even get this far. And we're not looking to become big. We're not looking to become popular, you know. We're looking to speak the truth. And to, you know, teach the truth. And there's a danger when people idolizing their pastors. And they start making their pastors more popular and more lifting them up on a higher pedestal than what they should be on. You know, and as a pastor, you should respect them as their elder. And it's about, you know, but they're a sinner just like you. They're a sinner just like me. I'm a sinner like you. You're a sinner like me. Like I've often said, you know, I can make myself sound really good on the radio. You can think I got it all together. Well, I don't. I got my pitfalls. I got, you know, my problems, my issues, just like everybody else. You know, since I go to before, you know, with before, you know, on to the cross on a daily thing, you know, and, you know, issues and stuff just like everybody else. And that's something we need to remember. Every pastor does. And there's a danger when people start idolizing their pastor and allowing that idolization to start making that pastor become more perfect than they really are. Because none of us are perfect. And, you know, we have to realize, hey, your pastor puts on his pants one leg at a time like you do, like I do. You know. And that we'd be idolizing our pastors. We should have respect for our pastors and, you know, and support our pastors and pray for our pastors. And, you know, encourage our pastors and lift them up. But there's a difference between doing that biblically and then just outright idolizing them. And that's, I think, you know, that's why a lot of these churches and a lot of these mega pastors like Rick Warren, Stephen Furtick, James McConnell, I can just rattle them all, you know, Bill Johnson, you know, all these guys, they basically are mini rock stars or mini celebrities. And it's because people have idolized them and put them on pedestals that they don't deserve to be on. I find that the best pastors are, you know, the pastor that's teaching a congregation of 85 and faithfully, you know, every Sunday maybe, you know, is there, you know, in and out every Sunday, preaching the Word of God, faithfully to the Word of God, faithful to the flock, you know, does his calls during the week, does, you know, takes care of his sheep, you know. Those are the pastors that, you know, are there. That we should be lifting up in prayer. Not these pastors that are so-called pastors that are being idolized to rock star status. And that's the problem. That's why we get a lot of this you know, false religion rising, because you got false teachers that basically, you know, pastors that, oh, because they can write, or because, you know, they can speak eloquently, or, you know, they can, you know, whatever, they look good, they can dress sharp, or what, you know, they got the nice shiny white teeth, and, you know, they go out there and they look good, and they feel to the, you know, the five aesthetic needs of, you know, they make you feel good and all that. But, you know, yeah, it's fine. It's nice to feel good. It's nice to go to a sermon and go to a church and, you know, feel good when you walk out. But I would rather know the truth and realize that here's some rough stuff while feeling good, but knowing that the gospel is being preached, and at the end, feeling good because the gospel is preached and hearing the gospel preached, than hearing a bunch of self-help, you know, the Bible's your best thing, you know, the you know, best help book around, and, you know, you got the most popular pastor. Well, that's not important. So, you know, and where does this all lead? Ultimately, it leads to basically statements like what we saw here. And we know, you know, Rob Bell has been out in the left field for a long time. And it's just basically the absurd illustrating the absurd. And this is kind of where we go with this, is it ultimately can lead to having a faith or non-faith or the wrong faith, however you want to put it, like Rob Bell is now putting forward, because, you know, he's teaming up with Oprah Winfrey and basically has come out and, you know, taking and, in short, embracing gay marriage and gay rights, and now he's becoming a gay activist. Well, that should be no surprise. We know Rob Bell has gone off the deep end with his Numa videos and the Love Wins, and we kind of thought, okay, well, maybe he's like disappeared, you know, no, but then all of a sudden, guess what, he teams up with Oprah, then he's got his Oprah show, or, you know, on our network and that, and, you know, yeah, well, this is what happens. Rob Bell is a perfect example of what happens when you have the wrong theology and you get down that trail. You go down that wrong track. You end up, well, eternally, you're going to end up in hell. But here here during your living, you know, while you're alive, you're going to basically end up like Rob Bell in a wrong enough, down a theological dead end that's going to embrace every doctrine of wind that's blowing around, basically sticking your finger in the wind going, okay, which way is doctrine blowing today? And you're going to embrace things like he's doing now, you know, the gay marriage thing. And this is basically where bad theology, where believing the Bible is a self-help book, or being, you know, taught like Andy Stanley is being saying out from his pulpit, that, you know, it's not about, you know, scripture or the Bible or anything like that. It's just an ancient collection of books, you know, documents. Well, this is all step words for, you know, progression to ultimately where you're going to end up, you know, down the bad theology, you know, train wreck, basically. And that's where Rob Bell's ended up, is in a train wreck now of, you know, embracing gay marriage. And, you know, something I've noticed, you know, these churches, these pastors, these denominations that move towards heresy, and ultimately end up heretical and apostate, and for like embracing, you know, such as gay marriage, it doesn't just happen overnight. It starts slowly, and it's because they get their eyes off of the Christ of the Bible. They get their eyes off the cross and they go, you know, down some rabbit trail, either money or, but usually it starts with having the wrong theology and starting going for an emergent kind of theology where, oh, doctrine doesn't matter as much. You mark my words. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. I'm not saying it might be 10 years from now, but I bet you we'll see, unless Andy Stanley repents, we'll see Andy Stanley in the same place Rob Bell is now, you know? And this is where like the ELCA, the Lutheran ELCA, they didn't automatically just embrace gay marriage, no, or and have women passed. Well, where it started was, guess what? they, you know, didn't think Scripture was infallible and Scripture was important, so they allowed women to be pastors. Well, then, you know, it moved a little farther. Then, you know, oh, well, we can, you know, okay, we can allow gays, you know, in a church and, you know, to come into church and be members. Okay, well, we're going to accept it. And next thing you know, they allow gay marriage and all this, boom. And that's exactly where we're seeing, like, church denominations going. And, you know, it's an ecumenical movement. It's a eyes off the cross and instead onto the world. And, well, the world's doing this, so we better accept it, or we're not going to be popular. We're not going to get our donations. We're not, you know, their motives are in the wrong place. And they eventually just lead down into the heretical movements of which where they're at. And, you know, it's very easy as you look at these denominations to see that progression of where they went wrong if you understand biblical theology. And, you know, you're a believer, and my listeners are smart. They understand biblical theology. I know that. And you can look back and step back and see the progressional trail of where a denomination such of like as the ELCA went astray and started going down the wrong rabbit trail. And it wasn't overnight. It took several years. It took 20 years. But, you know, eventually, they're where they're at. Same thing, I bet if you went and looked back at Rob Bell. I bet he, at some point, you know, you could see the signs. Boom, boom, boom. And look where he's at now. So, you know, we got Rob Bell endorsing gay marriage or homosexual unions, sodomite unions. I prefer to say that versus gay marriage because, you know, first of all, gay marriage is admitting that gays are, redefining marriage, and no, they're not redefining marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman, that's plain and simple. So, now, I want to briefly touch on this here. We got about 8 minutes left, and Russell Moore, who is basically the president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religion Liberty Commission and the Southern Baptist Conventions, he basically is joining hands with Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, and they are going to basically, along, you know, their group, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, they're going to be joining the March for Life in 2000, coming up here in Washington D.C. Next year for January 21st to 22nd, you know, 2016. What they're going to, the reason I'm bringing this up is not that it's a bad thing to go for the March for Life and, you know, but the problem here is their willingness to join with a false religion. And you might be, okay, what I'm talking about, and briefly here, basically they're joining with the Roman Catholics in this March for Life. They got no problems with capitulating with the Roman Catholics. Well, the Roman Catholics don't worship the same Jesus we worship. They don't worship the biblical Jesus. They worship Mary. They've taken, just briefly, just, you know, short for time's sake, they've taken and, you know, rewritten and taken the second commandment out and broke down the 10th commandment into two parts, equal 10 commandments. But they've taken the original second commandment out where you're not supposed to worship idols. So they've rewritten Scripture. They worship Mary. They believe, you know, the Eucharist, that Christ is reborn every time and comes down, you know, flesh and blood. And, you know, and this is basically, I'm going very quick on this because we only got about 5 minutes left. But, like I said, Russell Moore and Jim Daly from Focus on the Family basically want to hold hands and, you know, capitulate and become, you know, sing kumbaya and go march at this pro-life rally. Well, I'm not saying Christians, if you're, you know, we shouldn't be involved in that. All I'm saying is we shouldn't be joining with the Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics, you go stand over there and preach your false doctrines and pray to your idols. We're going to go stand over here and we're going to pray to the God of the Bible. We're going to pray to Christ. Very simply put, you know, these people like Russell Moore, you know, Jim Daly from Focus on the Family, they capitulate. You know, it's just another example of, oh, okay, well, now you got like Russell Moore, Southern Baptist, kind of capitulating to the Roman Catholics for this thing. And then you got like Rick Warren, same thing. You know, oh, well, you know, that Roman Catholics and, you know, Protestants have, you know, a lot in common. Well, no, we don't. Sorry, but we don't. We don't worship the same Jesus. The Catholics don't worship the biblical Jesus. The Catholics' faith is works-based. Ours is faith alone. We don't pray to Mary. We don't believe Mary's a co-redemptress. We don't believe that Mary is, you know, equal to Christ. We don't need, you know, to pray to Mary or other, any other saints, any other dead people. We pray to Christ. We pray to God. Because God right now is in heaven, is both man and spirit. So, or, you know, man and God. So, he's two, you know. It goes into the hypostatic union. They deny that. So, you know, we cannot capitulate. We cannot hold on, you know, hold hands with Catholics at events like this. It's just like when, you know, you go out and street preach or you're at an abortion mill or whatever. And there's Catholics praying, you know, they're praying or whatever. Well, you know, I've had the question, what do you do? What I do is I go talk to the people, but I'm not going to go send them to the Catholic to talk. I'm going to talk to the people and give them Christ and preach the gospel. I'm definitely not going to steer them towards Catholic and their false religion. You know, that's me personally. So that's basically our topics today, and touch briefly on those. Like I said, we had a lot to talk about. And now, you know, Charlie is going to be on tomorrow with me. And Thursday, we are most probably not going to be doing a show. I don't know. I'm going to have to look into more about that because I got some stuff doing at 4:15. Unless I can pre-record a show, maybe we'll do a pre-recorded show. Charlie and I might throw a pre-recorded show together and see what we can do. I'll have to talk to him and maybe we can do something on that. But we're going to be tackling part 3 tomorrow of Limited Atonement. So that's going to be interesting. Charlie's got more information on that and more discussion, and he's going to continue down the road on that. And I believe Stephanie Bolesky will be joining us. I'm not 100% sure, but she might be joining us tomorrow. So we'll be looking at that. So now I just want to say thank you for listening. God bless, and God willing, we will be talking to you tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll have my voice back 100%. As you can tell, it's about 90% there, but it's not nearly there. I keep throat's a little sore now after talking for an hour. But praise God, we made it through the show, so it's good to go. Thank you for listening. And remember, you can contact us at our website at empoweredbychrist.org. And always the podcast hotline is open for you guys to call, leave a message, question, statement. Maybe you want to send me a nasty hate voicemail. You know, I get hate emails all the time. Maybe you want to send me a hate voicemail. You can do so at area code 414-369-2242. So thank you for listening, and God bless. All right, well, that's a wrap for this show. But remember, the conversation doesn't have to stop here. Make sure to join us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC and on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. Also, make sure you stop by our website at empoweredbychrist.org, where you can check out our latest articles, our blogs, and past archives of this show. Now, if you want to contact us, feel free to send us an email at ebc4u@live.com. Or, if you have a question you want to ask us directly about this show or past shows, feel free to call us and leave us a voicemail at area code 414-369-2242. Well, thank you for listening, and God bless.